All right, we're starting, or rather, we're continuing chapter 22 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Let's see where we were.
The last week of term became increasingly boisterous as it progressed. Rumors about the Yule Ball were flying everywhere, though Harry didn't believe half of them. For instance, that Dumbledore had bought 800 barrels of mulled mead from Madame Rosmerta. It seemed to be the fact, however, that he had booked the Weird Sisters. Exactly who or what the Weird Sisters were, Harry didn't know, never having had access to a wizard's wireless. But he deduced from the wild excitement of those who had grown up listening to the WWN, Wizarding Wireless Network, that they were a very famous musical group. See, they do have some sort of audio recording thing, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, where'd you go? Oh. What are you doing?
Drinking water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they should be able to put that audio and that visual together, and you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that the first few would be kind of difficult. You know, they'd have trouble lining up the sound with the
yes,
video.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Some of the teachers, like little Professor Flitwick, gave up trying to teach them much when they had their minds so clearly elsewhere. He allowed them to play games in his lesson on Wednesday, and spent most of it talking to Harry about the perfect summoning charm Harry had used during the first task of the Triwizard Tournament. Other teachers were not so generous. Nothing would ever deflect Professor Binns, for example, from plowing on through his notes on goblin rebellions. As Binns hadn't let his own death stand in the way of continuing to teach, they supposed a small thing like Christmas wasn't going to put him off. It was amazing how he could make even bloody and vicious goblin riots sound as boring as Percy's Cauldron Bottom reports.
Hey.
I love you. You're sexy.
You're sexy. Okay. Cauldron reports.
Professors McGonagall and Moody kept them working until the very last second of their classes, too, and Snape, of course, would no sooner let them play games in class than adopt Harry. Staring nastily around them at all, he informed them that he would be testing them on poison antidotes during the last lesson of the term. "Evil he is," said Ron bitterly that night in the Gryffindor common room, "springing a test on us the last day. Ruining the last bit of term with a whole load of studying. Why don't they always have tests at the end of... We have tests. It's ridiculous." "You're not exactly straining yourself, though, are you?" said Hermione, looking at him over the top of her potions notes. Ron was busy building a card castle out of his exploding snap pack, a much more interesting pastime than with muggle cars, because of the chance that the whole thing would blow up at any second. "It's Christmas, Hermione," said Harry lazily. He was rereading Flying with the Cannons for the 10th time in an armchair near the fire. Hermione looked over severely at him. "I'd have thought you'd be doing something constructive, Harry, even if you don't want to learn your antidotes." "Like what?" said Harry, as he watched Joey Jenkins of the Cannons belt a bludger toward the Ballycastle Bat's chaser. "That egg," Hermione hissed. "Come on, Hermione, I've got till February the 24th, Harry said. He had put the golden egg upstairs in his trunk, and he hadn't opened it since the celebration party after the first task. There were still 2.5 months to go until he needed to know what the screeching wailing meant, after all. "But it might take weeks to work out," said Hermione. "You're going to look like a real idiot if everyone else knows the next task and you don't." "Leave him alone, Hermione. He's earned a bit of a break," said Ron, and he placed his last two cards on top of the castle, and the whole lot blew up, singeing his eyebrows. "Nice look, Ron. They go well with your dress robes, that will." It was Fred and George. They sat down at the table with Harry, Ron, and Hermione, as Ron felt how much damage had been done. "Ron, can we borrow Pidwidget?" George asked. "No, he's off delivering a letter," said Ron. "Why?" "Because George wants to invite him to the ball," said Fred sarcastically. "Because we want to send a letter, you great stupid prat," said George. "Who do you keep writing to, eh?" said Ron. "Nose out, Ron, or I'll burn you that for you too," said Fred, waving his wand threateningly. "So you lot got dates for the ball yet?" "Nope," said Ron. "Well, you better hurry up, mate, or all the good ones will be gone." "Who are you going with, then?" said Ron. "Angelina," said Fred promptly, without a trace of embarrassment. "What?" said Ron, taken aback. "You've already asked her?" "Oh, good point," said Fred. He turned his head and called across the common room. "Hey, Angelina!" Angelina, who had been chatting with Alicia Spinett near the fire, looked over at him. "What?" she called back. "Want to come to the ball with me?" Angelina gave Fred an appraising sort of look. "All right, then," she said, and she turned back to Alicia and continued chatting on with a bit of a grin on her face. "There you go," said Fred to Harry and Ron. "You know the two of them get so much." "Piece of cake." He got to his feet, yawning, and said, "We'd better use a school owl then, George. Come on." They left. Ron stopped feeling his eyebrows and looked across at the smoldering wreck of his card castle at Harry. "We should get a move on, you know. Ask someone." "He's right. We don't want to end up with a pair of trolls." Hermione let out a sputter of indignation. "A pair of... what? Excuse me!" "Well, you know," said Ron, shrugging, "I'd rather go alone than with Elise Midgen, say. Her acting's loads better lately, and she's really nice." "Her nose is off-center," said Ron. "Oh, I see," said Hermione, bristling. "So basically, you're going to take the best-looking girl who'll have you, even if she's completely horrible." "Yeah, that sounds about right," said Ron. "I'm going to bed," Hermione snapped. And she swept off toward the girl's staircase without another word. Yeah, I forgot. Ron should ask Hermione, not Harry.
Well, duh, but that's... Well, I mean, actually, Harry should ask Hermione because they're friends, and you always have a better time with your friend than someone you like.
Right, right. The Hogwarts staff, demonstrating a continued desire to impress the visitors from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang, seemed determined to show the castle at its best this Christmas. When the decorations went up, Harry noticed that they were the most stunning he had yet seen inside the school. You know, do you remember when these books came out, there was a whole uproar from the evangelical Christian community about how they were the devil? They're like, it's nothing but Christian stuff here. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
I don't know how they can be mad at this.
Because witchcraft is frowned upon.
Yeah, but it's not like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
It takes some pretty close-minded people to think of this as...
Oh, yeah, honey. What do you think?
Yeah. Everlasting icicles had been attached to the banisters of the marble staircase. The usual 12 Christmas trees in the Great Hall were bedecked with everything from luminous holly berries to real hooting golden owls, and the suits of armor had all been bewitched to sing carols whenever anyone passed them. Oh,
that's
God.
Awesome.
I would have.
I'd like you to have pictured this.
I would have gone crazy. I think I would have stabbed one of them.
Okay, there was this. I went back a few months ago over Christmas break, right before I came to ISU. It was on my first scouting trip to ISU to see to get an apartment.
Yeah.
And I stopped by. There's this little candy shop and restaurant and, like, knick-knack store.
Yeah.
In Monmouth, Illinois. And there was this entire room devoted to Christmas decorations.
Oh, yeah.
Trees. It was, like, the most magical place. They had... It was this awesome building, like, a really old building built in, like, 18-something. And it had, like, the really high ceilings with the tin, you know, the tin ceiling. But then you'd go up the stairs and there'd just be like room upon room, and then be like all windy, and some of them would be small and like really low ceiling, and some of them would be big, and it was like the most magical place. And there were different themes for each room, you know, they had different kinds of decorations or whatever. There's always something new, and they always had different music playing in each room. It was amazing. And they sold candy and ice cream in one part, and there was a restaurant in one part of it. Like, it was just so cool. And I went back, and it was, like, completely deserted. It was boarded up. It was falling to pieces. It was so sad. Yeah. But anyway, so.
Yeah.
That was such a cool part. I loved that place.
That's really cool.
Such a good memory. Yeah.
Should we continue?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. It was quite something to hear, "O Come All Ye Faithful," sung by an empty helmet that only knew half the words. Several times, Filch the caretaker had to extract Peeves from inside the armor, where he had taken to hiding, filling in the gaps in the songs with lyrics of his own invention, all of which were very rude. And still, Harry hadn't asked Cho to the ball. He and Ron were getting very nervous now, though, as Harry pointed out, Ron would look much less stupid than he would without a partner. Harry was supposed to be starting the dancing with the other champions. "I suppose there's always Moaning Myrtle," he said gloomily, referring to the ghost who haunted the girls' toilets on the second floor. "Harry, we've just got to grit our teeth and do it," said Ron on Friday morning in a tone that suggested they were planning to the storming of an impregnable fortress. "When we get back to the common room tonight, we'll both have partners, agreed?" This sounds like me and Noah talking in high school. We would go through the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, we would, like, we'd both have, you know, our eye on someone, and we'd just be like, "You gonna ask her? No, you gonna ask her? Yeah, I really want to." You know, "You should do it. Dude, you should totally do it." But you know what finally got me to ask Katie Talley out? Mm-hmm. Noah said that if I didn't do it, he would.
No way!
I don't know if he was serious or not, but
I bet he was.
Maybe, yeah. So, yeah. That was awkward.
Yeah. But you did it.
But I did. Oh, man. Every time he glimpsed Cho that day, during break, then lunchtime, and once on his way to History of Magic, she was surrounded by friends. Didn't she ever go anywhere alone? Could he perhaps ambush her as she was going to the bathroom? But no, she didn't even seem to go there without an escort of 4 or 5 girls. Yet, if he didn't do it soon, she was bound to have been asked by someone else. See, this is why you need a telephone, right?
Okay, keep reading.
Okay. He found it hard to concentrate on Snape's potions test, and consequently forgot to add the key ingredient, a bizarre, meaning he received bottom marks. He didn't care, though. He was too busy screwing up his courage for what he was going to do. When the bell rang, he grabbed his bag and hurried to the dungeon door. "I'll meet you upstairs," he said to Ron and Hermione, and he dashed off upstairs. "Sorry, I'll meet you at dinner," and he dashed off upstairs. He'd just have to ask Cho for a private word, that was all. He hurried off through the packed corridors looking for her, and, rather sooner than he expected, found her, emerging from a Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson. "Cho, could I have a word with you?" Giggling should be made illegal, Harry thought furiously, as all the girls around Cho started doing it. She didn't, though. She said, "Okay," and followed him out of earshot of her classmates.
I love that. That's really something you would have thought.
What?
Giggling should be made illegal.
Yeah. Harry turned to look at her, and his stomach gave a weird lurch as though he had missed a step going downstairs. He said. But he couldn't ask her. He couldn't. But he had to. Cho stood there, looking puzzled, watching him. The words came out before Harry had quite got his tongue around. Want to go to the ball with me? Sorry, said Cho. Do you want to go to the ball with me? Said Harry. Oh, why did he have to go red now? Why? Oh, said Cho. She went red too. Oh, Harry, I'm really sorry. And she truly looked it. I've already said I'd go with someone else. Oh, said Harry. It was odd. A moment before, his insides had been writhing with snakes. But suddenly, he didn't seem to have any insides at all. See, he should have asked sooner. Okay, no problem, he said. I'm really sorry, she said again. That's okay, said Harry. They stood looking at each other, and then Cho said, well... Yeah, said Harry. Well, bye, said Cho, still very red. She walked away. Harry called after her before he could stop himself.
Oh, Jesus.
Who are you going with? Oh, Cedric, she said. Cedric Diggory. Oh, right, said Harry. His insides had come back again. It felt as though they had been filled with lead in their absence. Completely forgetting about dinner, he walked slowly back to Gryffindor Tower. Cho's voice echoing in his ears with every step he took. Cedric, Cedric Diggory. He had been starting to quite like Cedric, prepared to overlook the fact that he had once beaten him at Quidditch and was handsome and popular and nearly everyone's favorite champion. Now, he suddenly realized that Cedric was in fact a useless pretty boy who didn't have enough brains to fill an egg cup. Fairy lights, he said dully to the fat lady. The password had been changed the previous day. Yes, indeed, dear, she trilled, straightening her new tinsel hairband as she swung forward to admit him. Entering the common room, Harry looked around, and to his surprise he saw Ron sitting ashen-faced in a distant corner. Ginny was sitting with him. Oh, he should ask Ginny, right?
Yeah, just wait.
Okay. Ginny was sitting with him, talking to him in what seemed like a low, soothing voice. What's up, Ron? Said Harry, joining them. Ron looked up at Harry, a sort of blind horror in his face. Why did I do it? He said wildly. I don't know what made me do it. What? Said Harry. He just asked Fleur Delacour to the ball with him, said Ginny. She looked as though she was fighting back a smile, but kept patting Ron's arm sympathetically. You what? Said Harry. I don't know what made me do it, Ron gasped again. What was I playing at? There were people around. All around. I've gone mad, everyone watching. I was just walking past her in the entrance hall. She was standing there talking to Diggory, and it came over me, and I asked her. Ron moaned and put his face in his hands. He kept talking, though the words were barely distinguishable. She looked at me as like I was a sea slug or something. Didn't even answer. And then, I don't know, I sort of came to my senses and ran for it. She's part Vila, said Harry. You were right, her grandmother was one. But it wasn't your fault. I bet you just walked past when she was turning on the old charm for Diggory and got a blast of it. She was wasting her time. He's going with Cho Chang. Ron looked up. I asked her to go with me just now, Harry said dully, and she told me. Ginny had suddenly stopped smiling. This is mad, said Ron. We're the only ones left who hasn't gotten anyone. Well, except Neville. Hey, guess who he asked? Hermione. What? Said Harry, completely distracted by the startling news. Yeah, I know, said Ron, some of the color coming back into his face after he started to laugh. He told me after potions. Said she's always been really nice, helping him out with work and stuff. But she told him she was already going with someone. Ha, as if. She just didn't want to go with Neville. I mean, who would?
Aww.
Don't, said Ginny, annoyed. Don't laugh. Just then, Hermione climbed in through the portrait hole. Why weren't you two at dinner? She said, coming over to join them. Because, oh, shut up laughing, you two. Because they've both been just turned down by girls who they asked to the ball, said Ginny. That shut Harry and Ron up. Thanks a bunch, Ginny, said Ron sourly. All the good-looking ones taken now, Ron, said Hermione loftily. Elise Midgen starting to look pretty good now, is she? Well, I'm sure you'll find someone somewhere who'll have you. But Ron was staring at Hermione as though suddenly seeing her in a whole new light. Hermione, Neville's right. You are a girl. Oh, well spotted, she said acidly. Well, you can come with one of us. not going well. No, I can't, snapped Hermione. Oh, come on, he said impatiently. We need partners. We're going to look really stupid if we haven't gotten any. Everyone else has. I can't come with you, Hermione said, now blushing, because I'm already going with someone. No, you're not, said Ron. You just said that to get rid of Neville. Oh, did I? Said Hermione. Her eyes flashed dangerously. Just because it's taken you 3 years to notice, Ron, doesn't mean no one else has spotted that I'm a girl.
Ron. Nice, Hermione.
Ron.
You still girl.
Yo. Ron stared at her. Then he grinned again. Okay, okay. We know you're a girl, he said. That'll do. Will you come now? I've already told you, Hermione said very angrily. I'm going with someone else. And then she stormed off toward the girls' dormitories again. She's lying, said Ron flatly, watching her go. No, she's not, said Ginny quietly. Who is it then? Said Ron sharply. I'm not telling you, it's her business, said Ginny. Right, said Ron, who looked extremely put out. This is getting stupid. Ginny, you can go with Harry, and I'll just... I can't, said Ginny, and she went scarlet, too. I'm going with Neville. He asked me when Hermione said no, and I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to go otherwise. I'm not in fourth year. She looked extremely miserable. I think I'll go and have dinner, she said. She got up and walked off to the portrait hall, her head bowed. Does she like Harry at this point? Okay. So she wanted to go with Harry. Ron goggled at Harry. What's got into them? He demanded. But Harry had just seen Parvati and Lavender come in through the portrait hole. Wait here, he said to Ron. And he stood up, walked straight up to Parvati and said, Parvati, will you go to the ball with me? Parvati went into a fit of giggles. Harry waited for them to subside, his fingers crossed in the pocket of his robes. Yes, all right then, she said, blushing furiously. Thanks, said Harry in relief. Lavender, will you go with Ron? She's going with Seamus, said Parvati, and the pair of them giggled harder than ever. Harry sighed. Can't think of anyone who'd go with Ron? She said, lowering his voice so that Ron wouldn't hear. What about Hermione Granger, said Parvati. She's going with someone else. Parvati looked astonished. Ooh, who? She said keenly. Harry shrugged. No idea, he said. So what about Ron? Well, said Parvati slowly, I suppose my sister might, Padma, you know, in Ravenclaw. I'll ask her if you like. Yeah, that'd be great, said Harry. Let me know, will you? And he went back over to Ron, feeling that this ball was a lot more trouble than it was worth, and hoping very much that Padma Patil's nose was dead center. And that's the end of chapter 22. Next will be chapter 23, called The Yule Ball. And we just broke the 400-page mark. Woohoo! Oh, and I think it's bedtime, my kitty. I love you so much, boo. Sleep well, kitten. Good night.